Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Bryant drives one in the air, deep left center field. Back goes Galloway near the fence at the wall. Home run! Chris Bryant with a game winner. Cubs win 5-2. Three-run homer, Chris Bryant into the teeth of the win, and his teammates jumping up and down at home plate. What a finish.
Middays on the Score.
How about that? This team's a whole lot of fun when that guy is at the peak of his abilities. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Kelly Krull is on Twitter at Kelly_Krull. She of NBC Sports Chicago covering the Cubs and joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm a lot warmer right now, and coming off that win last night, it was really exciting, so I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Okay, wonderful. I was surprised that they doused him with as much water and Gatorade as that all was. There's some hypothermic possibilities for anybody in the way of that stuff last night.
I know, and it actually, the way it unfolded was rather comical, only in the sense that, I mean, we were just really cold. It had been a long night. You guys saw what it looked like out there. You just had a feeling, too, that KB was due for a moment like that. I mean, we'd seen him kind of heating up the last three games. He's gone deep now. But I go over to grab him, and he's already, poor guy, the jersey's been ripped off of him. You can see guys have thrown little water bottles on him. And, you know, I've been punching him and stuff. And he's like, man, they've already beat me up. I really hope they don't do the Gatorade. That's like what he tells me. And I'm like, well... And I'd already seen Rizzo and, like, Schwarber getting the Gatorade, the first bottle ready. And he was, as we were preparing for the interview, you kind of hear me on air say, well, he's asking his teammates not to do this, but I don't think he's going to have a choice. And he didn't. And they got him with all three Gatorade bottles. And he was just, yeah, you could see the steam coming off of his head in the interview. And he just, yeah, his teeth were chattering by the end of it. So I tried to keep it quick. I do not want KB coming down with a cold because he stood out there for, you know, a minute and a half to do an interview.
Talking with Kelly Krull. She was on field with Chris Bryant after his game winner last night. She, of course, NBC Sports Chicago. I'm wondering, you know, if you're there every day and you seem to have a pretty good rapport as to how these guys are feeling, how they're thinking, how they're kind of operating. His first 15 games, Bryant's, weren't great. His last 15 have been very Chris Bryant-like. Obviously, everybody knows how important he is to this team. The difference between 95 and 96 wins last year, perhaps. Has he really been able to stay his same self, you know, from the first half of this month to the second?
Yeah, so some of the things that I've noticed, I mean, and he spoke a little bit about it last night. I mean, keep in mind how young he is and how this is the first time in his major league career that he's had a slow start to the season. I mean, every other season he's been able to look up, and he even mentioned it last night, look up at those numbers in April and May and see them about where he wants them. But this year was different. He felt like, you know, stepping up to the plate, he was trying to get four hits, he said, in one at bat, and then kind of recognized that that's just not how this is going to work. And he basically said, I had to learn and I had to realize I can't be impatient through this process, but I was trusting what I was doing, the work I was putting in. I knew this was going to turn around. The only thing I would say is kind of watching his demeanor is I do think he was frustrated, but what guy isn't frustrated when he's going through something like that, whether it's early in the season, the middle of the season, the end of the season? Sure, he was frustrated with it, and I think the way he chose to deal with it was just continue to grind and grind and grind. And when I say that, I mean that he wasn't as available to the media as he has been in the past, but I'm okay with that too. Like, I'm not going to, you know, sit there and judge a guy for continuing to put in the work when he's trying to work through some things. And I respect that and their routines. And so if there were any difference in his demeanor, it might have just been that, yes, he was frustrated. And, yes, instead of being in the locker room and being as available as he has been in the past, he wasn't. But here we see the Chris Bryant that everybody knew existed, and we just wanted to make sure he was healthy. It appears he is. The power's back. And, guys, look in it. I was reading a story that our guy Tony Andracki, our insider, had done. It's on NBCSportsChicago.com, and he kind of listed what, at this point, his numbers will look like if he stays on track. And, yeah, we're looking at 30 home runs and over 100 RBI, which is what you expect from Chris Bryant.
I also think, too, that we're underplaying the job that John Lester is doing this year. You know, we talked a lot about those unfortunate Pecota projections that in the eyes of Cubs fans. Oh, my God, 79 wins. The biggest reason for it is that algorithm does not trust old pitching. And the fact that John Lester is continually reinventing himself at a time where, and we're going to play this in just a little bit, where he knows the ball is changing and strike zones are changing and swings are changing. It's a pretty remarkable story that he is continuing to succeed with this level of flexibility at this point in his career.
I think you're absolutely right. And I totally agree with you that I think we take him, well, I would say Cubs fans and take him for granted sometimes what he is able to do. And it's completely underrated, just in the sense that you listen to Chris at the podium last night say, when he goes out there, we expect to win, even if he doesn't have his best stuff. And John admits and often does that he doesn't. And last night was one of those nights where he said until about the fourth inning, when he made a mechanical adjustment, he really didn't have anything. He was letting Wilson Contreras guide him through everything with what he could, you know, throw at the time. And so that's a guy that just battles night in and night out, and he's such a bulldog, and he's gonna find a way to get you a win. And he was on fire last night, guys. I don't know if you heard much of his post-game comments, but he was tremendous in the sense that you mentioned, Dan, hearing the part about the ball, which I love the honesty. I love him being as transparent as he is and talking about David Price saying the same thing. And hey, MLB, we just want to know, like, if that's what you're doing, fine, just tell us. And I mean, he mentioned parts of the ball coming off under his fingernails and feeling like, yeah, it's definitely a different ball. I mean, that's a story for another day, and certainly we can go into that. But he was hysterical, needless to say, after the game last night, talking about how he was getting after Anthony Rizzo for, like, bobbling or whatever he was doing over there on first base. And that is the John Lester that I'm telling you, when I got to do that ride along piece we did feature at spring training with him, he is bar none one of my favorite interviews in there, because he can, from an experience standpoint, just give you so much information. And when he opens up, he is a funny, funny guy, and he is one of the most beloved teammates in that clubhouse. So I'm completely with you. I think what he goes out and does on a nightly or every five nights is really remarkable, and to be doing it at this point in his career and to have adjusted along the way, because at one point, you know, he was throwing 90 upper 90s, but that's not John Lester anymore. And to be as successful as he is and to still have the kind of impact that he has, even from just a chemistry standpoint, I really think that, you know, this guy, I would argue at times, is the heart and soul behind, you know, Javi Baez having the energy to that club.
So, Kelly, I'm looking through some of the minor league stats and checking out Mike Montgomery's rehab work. He threw six innings of one-hit ball the other day. And I'm thinking he's going for distance, and having him go for distance here. And I'm
not
wondering,
for speed.
Not for speed, wondering whether a 6-man rotation might be something in the offing. Hendricks says he doesn't want one. Lester's not interested. Joe Maddon's not interested. Is this just an opportunity for them to have the stretch in Montgomery so that maybe eventually they need it and he can make some spot starts or maybe even lengthen a rotation?
Yeah, basically, you got it. I mean, it's just one of those situations where right now, you know, a bad thing's a great thing for the Cubs. They just don't have a spot for him necessarily to be starting right now. Yeah, it's just early to be going to a 6-man rotation. You think about it. I mean, Maddon's always kind of done it post All-Star break. We've already heard from the starters who, because of how many off days they've had in these first few months, they weren't getting to pitch every 5 days. And even Kyle Hendricks alluded to the fact that he is such a routine-oriented guy that these days off and pitching on a sixth day or maybe even getting a full week in between starts has been really hard for them to get into a rhythm and to get the feel that they feel like they've got to have. So to insert Montgomery now, I think some of the guys are finally feeling, at least, you know, the main rotational guys are feeling like, we're just now starting to pick up steam, and we're on a good run here. Like, let's not mess with anything. So I don't even know how they're going to reinsert Montgomery into the bullpen right now, guys. Who do they send back down? Kyle Ryan, that I'm aware of, is the only one with options. I don't know about CJ, but just got back. But you don't have many options of guys. I mean, you have to DFA and like an Alan Webster, who we haven't seen in a while, but I don't think they want to do that. So they've got quite a predicament, excuse me, to deal with here with Mike Montgomery. But he is such an asset, and he's been such a huge part of that bullpen. You have to imagine they'll find a way, they'll get creative. But yeah, he's ready to go. And I saw him just last night in the dugout, and he said, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling great. I'm ready to, you know, ready to be back." So yeah, we'll see what they do moving forward. But I don't think the six man, and Joe, you guys heard him. Joe said that as much yesterday. That's not something they really want to go to yet.
Talking with Kelly Krull on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. Cubs on a heater right now. And part of this, a big part of this, when we look back, we already know we have one of the highlights of the year. And it came off the bat of Taylor Davis with the Grand Slam on Saturday. We had such a fun time talking with him. I knew he was an interesting guy, with a very thoughtful guy. I did not know how interesting. And it was just a delight. I'm also not dumb enough to think that he's going to take the job from Victor Caratini when Victor Caratini is ready. I'd love to keep his personality around, though, and frankly, his pitch framing and his receiving skills are fairly advanced. I wonder if we've seen the last of him when Victor comes back.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. Taylor Davis is another one of those guys that until the Cubs needed the backup to the backup, that so many people wouldn't know who this guy is as a person until, and that big moment. Like, even if, I mean, if that moment doesn't happen, we're not talking to Taylor Davis, right? But, I mean, he's in there, and like you guys have said, because I'm in there every day, I get to know some of these guys that the fans don't always get to see as much, and he is awesome. I am with you. Just to have his personality around would be tremendous for our sake, because he's such a joy to talk to. He's just a great person with great energy, and his stories, his journey is really incredible. Most of them that have been in the minor leagues into their 30s have an incredible story, right? I mean, that just comes along with that lifestyle. And he really, it's funny you bring up your interview with him. We talked about it yesterday. I just wanted to let him know what a great job he'd done on the radio. And he was like, "God, I had so much fun talking to those guys." And I don't always get those opportunities. And you could see it, just the smile on his face. And he's really enjoying this moment. And he knows, though, exactly what his role is. And I think to him, he mentioned to me, and probably in your interview, how, you know, it was a couple years ago that at some point he just had to sort of change the direction of how he was thinking about his career. And instead of it being about when was he going to make it or when was that break going to happen, it was just, I'm going to be the best teammate I can be. And he has completely walked that walk. And you can see the guys, how much they love him, appreciate him, having him around, because he's just fun. He's a guy that's there to support others. And when he has the opportunity to make the most of it, he clearly has this year. And he is. He's a great story, great person. And it would be fun to keep him around, but no ego there. And he knows that when Victor Caratini is healthy, he'll be right back with their AAA team.
So, Kelly, I'm still kind of, I don't know, tempted and intrigued by Tyler Chatwood a little bit out of the bullpen. And I'm wondering how your conversations with coaches, kind of the impression type conversations you have about what he's had to do to get from, you know, the low point last year to being a pretty intriguing and potentially dangerous guy out of the bullpen.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Trust me. I think there are a lot of people, and I think it's because of what we hear from all of the guys talking about how nasty his stuff is and how he has some of the best stuff in the league, and just finding a way to get it over the plate has been the biggest challenge. And, you know, I think Tyler, like any athlete and top competitor, he was so disgruntled with how last season went that I think they completely went back to the drawing board this off season. From what I know, some of the conversations I've even had with the the training staff, and they changed his entire workout routines in a way this off season. And if there's anyone I see out there on the field pre-workouts, like, you know, running around the field, lifting, those kinds of things. It's Tyler Chatwood. And so, you know, the guy has put in the work. It appears early on in the season it's paying off. Some things have certainly started to trend in the right direction for him. And if he can keep this up, I think it's a tremendous story, not only for him, but for the Cubs, because this is who they thought they were getting. And it's certainly a testament to what he has put in. But that is one thing that I've heard, is that from the standpoint of what he's doing from a workout routine has changed. So I'd be curious. You know what? I'm glad you bring that up, because that's something I want to follow up with on Tyler. But I don't know if something like that can have that much of a difference. But I will say, one of his, what was it, the spot start he had?
Yeah.
He did talk about how it was the best he had felt physically in years. And yes, he was gassed by that sixth inning, but who wouldn't be, having gone through something they don't do all the time and the adrenaline that was running for him on that day. But physically, the ball was still coming out of his hand, he said, and it felt good even to that point in the game. So that's, you know, as we know, upstairs for these guys, mentally is 90% of the battle, right? So if he believes in himself now and physically more than he did a year ago, then he's in a much better place.
Kelly, always great to catch up. We appreciate your time.
Agreed, guys. Thanks a lot. Have an awesome afternoon, and we'll talk soon.
That's Kelly. Kelly Krull, NBC Sports Chicago. We've got a lot to do here. Let me see if I can just lay out what's coming up.
Oh, please do.
After a brief timeout. First of all, we still have a chance to win $1,000 cash. We are going to give away a foursome of golf at Grand Geneva Resort and Spa.
Okay.
And John Lester had some pointed comments about what's going on with the baseball. There have been some observations keenly made by many recognizing something regarding Chris Bryant's bat.
That's right.
And Mike Fiers threw a no-hitter yesterday. We got to contextualize that as far as baseball history goes. So we got a ton to do and not a lot of time to do it. We're going to get to all of it, and you are going to win stuff. Don't go anywhere. You've got the score.
Feels normal. I mean, I knew it was just a matter of time before my work showed up in the games. I'm really proud of that. I feel like I've been putting in a ton of work with just consistency in my swing and approach, and not chasing too much, and working the counts, taking my walks, getting on base. And it's nice to see good results the last three games, four games. I mean, honestly, back to, you know, that homer I hit in Arizona, I felt locked in since then. So I'm just going to ride this wave.
Right on. Surf it as long as you can, Chris Bryant. I noticed something, too. I don't know if it was every at-bat, but it certainly was that last one. Mm-hmm. Several people have noticed this as well. He is using an axe-handle bat.
Yeah, well, the old Dustin Pedroia-type grip, right? It's just got a little axe-type where your pinky juts out just a little bit. Gives you a little bit more control, perhaps.
A lot. It's very different. If you've ever been, when you go to a sporting goods store, mm-hmm. if you get the opportunity to swing or pick up, wield an axe-handled bat, it's very different, because it's, rather than being a round handle, not only is the actual knob different, the knob juts out at an angle, it's not a circular knob,
right.
It's like the bottom of an axe. If you did a cross section of the handle, instead of being round, it would be ovate, in a way that your fingers can only lay over it in a certain way. You can't just flip the bat around in your hands. You have to hold it the same way every
Correct.
Time. Some guys absolutely adore that because of the consistency, because of how it, you know, some guys will say, keep the label up to align the grains. This does it automatically. You know, you're either holding the bat correctly or you're holding it incorrectly.
When I was working for the Sox, Avi Garcia was using an axe bat, and I was just kind of looking at it, and he, you know, kind of comes through the dugout. He's like, hey, pick it up. Take a look. And I did. It was the first time I had put one in my hands. It's remarkably comfortable. I mean, it feels right. It would be awkward to take the first couple of cuts with it and know that it's got to be, you know, it's just so. At least that's how it felt to me. I'm not a, you know, professional athlete at all, but you just kind of had to swing it just so. Some guys will tell you it gives you more barrel control, I think, as you're coming through the strike zone. A lot more ergonomic. Gives you more, maybe even more power, too.
I feel you can square it up in a way that maybe you couldn't if you're trying to sort of feel for the grip as you go. So just something to notice. Just something that he has made that switch. I don't know when. I don't know if it's every at bat. It's just something he does. It's something he worked on in the offseason. Some guys feel the alignment takes pressure off maybe there's a you don't grip the bat quite as hard if you get a little more certainty of how you're holding it. You're not worried about losing control. So for whatever reason, just something to notice.
Speaking of feel, another thing popped up last night in the post-game comments from one John Lester. He echoed the sentiments of David Price about the baseball being all kinds of weird. Take a listen, see how you feel.
People talk about the ball being different this season. It's flying out more. I mean, if you feel that, you notice that when you're trying to pitch with it?
Yeah. I mean, I know they're not rubbed up like they used to be. You know, you get balls back and they're basically white, and it seems like they're right out of the box. I had a piece of the ball on my finger at one point tonight. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I read something that David Price said, like, we don't care, just tell us. You know, I mean, it'd be nice to know, but I mean, obviously you see it across the board in AAA. I mean, that's kind of the telltale sign. These guys are, I think, way ahead of their home run total that they've ever been with going to the big league ball. So it is what it is. I mean, there's no excuse. There's no nothing. It just, you know, obviously we got to make good pitches. If we make good pitches, we can still get outs. I think I agree with what David said. I mean, if it is, just tell us. We don't really care. There's nothing we can do about it, but continue to pitch.
That's where I'm kind of coming down on this baseball, too. John's right. This ball is different. There's no two ways around it. How much it affects one thing or the other, that's for scientists and mathematicians and Rob Arthur and all those guys to come up with and let me know how they did the research. But it's different. And I get ticked off when baseball just tells you, well, it's all within an acceptable margin. And, you know, we have this width of specification for the baseball. We can't help it one way or the other. That's probably a dodge at best. And even if it is true that they can't contain the specifications of the baseball, that's not okay either. Figure it out. Make a better manufacturing process. Figure something out to give it a more consistent baseball. Stop lying that the baseball's just fine. And second, fix the issue with which the baseball gets constructed.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey. Your Chicago Wolves are battling the Iowa Wild in the division finals. The Wolves return home next week to Allstate Arena with discounted concessions and free parking all series. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Before we do another baseball note, I need a number from you of single-digit variety.
Show me 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a foursome of golf at Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva. It is the home of the Brute and the Highlands Championship Golf Courses. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. And in just a bit, we're going to give you a shot to win $1,000 in cash. A little baseball history made last night.
Yeah, Mike Fiers threw his second career no-hitter. I didn't see it. I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh, Fiers threw another no-hitter? That's insane. He's just not a guy that you would peg to do that. And yet, Fiers' career has kind of a Forrest Gump quality to it. All sorts of crazy things happened last night. Remember how we were talking about Derek Dietrich of the Reds yesterday and how he dressed up in like a beekeeper suit and stuff when the bees were the issue in Cincinnati?
Don't do that.
So they're playing the Reds. There was a power outage at the ballpark. So the game itself didn't start for like 90 minutes after the scheduled start time. Fiers keeps himself ready. He's good to go. Derek Dietrich dresses up like an electrician running around the ball field trying to fix the lights for the Reds. It was funny, and it seemed like it was just going to be one of those throwaway A's Reds game. No. Fiers throws a no-hitter.
He didn't dominate, really.
Not really.
In like 11 swings and misses?
Yeah.
He only threw 92?
131 pitches. His other no-hitter was 134. There's all kinds of... He gave up a home run to Joey Votto.
That wasn't a home run.
No. Ramon Laureano brought that thing back over the wall.
He's a warlock.
Oh, my God.
He is a warlock. That guy's got powers beyond this earth.
Just a ton of fun. Okay, but here's the other thing about Mike Fiers. Look through his career, and it's got this weird quality to it. First of all, he's an ERA plus, normalizes a pitcher's performance across ballparks and eras each and every year. His career, it normalizes to 100. So if you're league average, you're 100. Mike Fiers' career ERA plus, 99.
And again, higher is better.
Higher is better. You want like 120. You want like 130, something like that. Oh, that would be great. Fiers is also an owner of an immaculate inning. You remember this?
And a lonely heart.
He is the owner of immaculate inning. He did in 2015 against the Dodgers. He got Kike Hernandez, Carlos Frias, and Jock Peterson to strike out on 9 pitches in total. Mike
Fiers. 92?
of all people. Yeah, the changeup really works for him. He is also Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
Remember how he got hit in the face?
Yes.
Did you know it was Mike Fiers that did it?
I did not.
Did you
I mean,
know?
I probably did. I just don't. I didn't remember it.
I didn't remember that. And did you know that after Giancarlo Stanton got hit in the face with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball and went to the hospital, that Reed Johnson stepped in to
Reed
finish
Mantle,
the at-bat?
Our guy.
Reed Johnson stepped in. Do you know what the next pitch did?
It hit Reed Mantle in
it
the face?
It hit Reed Johnson. Both of them were swinging. He got into a whole fight, got suspended for it. That was Mike Fiers, of all people. He's the guy that did that, too.
Wow. He's like Zelig.
It's really weird. Here's the other one. Mike Fiers going into the game last night had a 6.81 ERA. That is the highest ERA held by any pitcher that's gone in to throw a no-hitter.
I actually like, I'm sort of a connoisseur of the bad no-hitter.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Like Edwin Jackson had one.
He walked 8 or 9. I can't remember.
You,
8 or 9.
And do you remember a White Sox pitcher, the same name as our buddy, Joe Cowley?
I know remember, of Joe Cowley, there, but I don't yes, remember watching
there, there
Joe Cowley.
There was a White Sox pitcher named Joe Cowley, the big rotund weirdo. I mean, a fun guy. And this kind of thing, like he would take a shower after the game and like yell at people from the shower because he liked the way it echoed.
Boy, you really do have to be specific because that does sound just like Joe Cowley.
No, this is the other Joe Cowley. At one point, I want to say, who was it? I'm trying to remember which beat reporter it was at the time. It might have been Alan Solomon back when he was on the White Sox beat a long time ago. And Joe Cowley was in, somebody was just hearing a guy screaming, "I am the great and powerful Oz." And it was a big naked Joe Cowley in the shower. But he threw like a 7-walk no-hitter or something like that. But Mike Fiers is now the 35th pitcher to have thrown more than one no-hitter in his career.
Okay.
And you think, well, these all have to be really good. But to throw, and the answer is you don't have to be really good to throw two no-hitters. In fact, you could be kind of bad. Now, you know the all-time leader in no-hitters,
yeah,
right?
Nolan.
Seven. That's Nolan Ryan threw seven. He broke the record of Sandy Koufax.
Who had four.
He had four, right? Bob Feller had three. The others with three are Cy Young and a guy from the 1880s named Larry Corcoran.
Cub?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yes, he was a Cub, actually.
I thought he was.
Yes, he was a Cub. And he did these. Did this against Providence.
He did these before trains were popular.
W-O-R, is that Worcester?
Maybe.
And B-S-N, Boston? Okay.
Yeah, Boston National League, right?
I guess.
Wouldn't that have been the Boston National League team?
All of these guys have thrown two. Ready?
Yep.
Mike Fiers, Jake Arrieta, Max Scherzer, Tim Lincecum, Homer Bailey.
Yep. $100 million man, yep. Homer Bailey.
Justin Verlander, Roy Halladay, Mark Burley, Randy Johnson, Hideo Nomo, Bob Forsh.
Forsh.
One, I think, was close to an opening day, I remember, as a kid. When I was a little kid, I was like,
he's 10. Okay.
It was a Cardinal. Steve Busby, Bill Stoneman, Ken Holtzman.
That's right.
Don Wilson, Jim Maloney, Jim Bunning, Warren Spahn, Carl Erskine, Virgil Trucks, Allie
when
Reynolds.
When did Virgil pitch? Tell me when Virgil
Trucks,
pitched.
50s, Detroit.
Okay, all right. All right.
Allie Reynolds, Johnny Vandermeer, famously.
Back-to-back no-hitters.
Dutch Leonard, Addy Joss, Frank Smith, Christy Mathewson, Theodore Breitenstein. Yes.
It's like he needs a Lord something.
Lord Theodore Breitenstein, Adonis Terry, Al Atkinson, and Terry's guy, Pud Galvin. That's Pud beautiful. Galvin did it August 4th, 1884, and August 20th, 1880. In the record books,
Terry,
Mike Fiers.
There for both.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Terry was in attendance for both, trying to get his iPad to work. I don't know. It's another, they haven't even invented this thing yet, Miska. They haven't invented Miska yet. How do I don't know, turn it on? What the hell am I doing?
So I wonder if any...
Now, wait a second. Time-traveling Terry Bores has got to be a thing.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. It'd be like Doc Brown, but weirder.
secretary at different moments in time.
Comes, making the same noises. He's at the crucifixion. Like, I don't know. It was colder last year.
He's like making voices when they use the guillotine. And
here comes Robespierre.
There goes Fred's head.
That man's lost his head.
Oh, man.
The crucifixion.
Yeah. Just hanging out.
Just there. The baseball hat.
There was wine.
Racing form. Oh. And you threw me.
I'm gone.
You threw me off. I was too busy thinking about Mike Tires.
What's on the racing form at the crucifixion?
I don't know.
I don't know. I got my money on the thief.
They bet on things. There's always something to bet on, right? Goes back a ways. I want to mention Tim Anderson is scheduled to join us tomorrow.
Excellent.
We will talk baseball and fun
Excellent.
With him at 10 o'clock. And also coming up in just a moment, your chance to win $1,000 cash. I will give you that magical text keyword next on The Score. This segment's brought to you by Icon Building Group. Attention Lake County homebuyers, Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. You can tour the beautiful new custom homes of Deer Path Farm. Located at Farewell Road in Mettawa, Deer Path Farm is the perfect opportunity to build your custom home. Search icon-group.com for all the details. That's icon-group.com. And now, it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is undo. And that's UNDO.
Gotcha.
Not UNDUE. I don't know why they choose. It's UNDO. Text undo to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is undo to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Thanks to Mike Florio and Crane Kenny and Kelly Krull, and thanks to Sam Fold and his people for being understanding.
Yeah, sorry we had to move that thing around on him.
Another point. Tomorrow, Tim Anderson at 10, Ian Rappaport, and Len Casper.
Excellent.
So already we know it's going to be busy. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers, Brian Gertz, the video feed, Joe Ostrowski, the updates. Also, 1 p.m. today, Doug Glanville is going to be on with Lawrence Holmes. Theo Epstein is going to be on tomorrow at 8 a.m. So
let's leave the radio on.
Yeah, this is
let's leave it on.
Absolutely, this station is your place to be for all things Chicago sports. We will say good afternoon to Lawrence next. Keep it here. You got The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.